Thy strong word, we praise you and acknowledge you up through endless ranks of angels. Hi, this is Pastor Will Wheaton, inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Singing the Ancient Faith in Our Own Days. Making the Case is Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Indeed, alleluia. A reading from Acts chapter 10. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that sleep. To the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Give to the Lord all the glory and strength. Give the honor to his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Did you ever notice that we designate the Sundays of the church year differently depending on the season? So for example, we say Sundays after Epiphany or after Pentecost, or Sundays in Advent or in Lent. So what about now? What about at this particular time of the year? Well, interestingly, neither in nor after, but of. Last Sunday, third Sunday of Easter. This coming one, fourth Sunday of Easter. Now, I'm no liturgologist, if there is such a thing. So I'm not speaking definitively about what any of these prepositions mean. But of does seem to suggest to me that we are supposed to consider this whole 50-day period between Easter and Pentecost of Easter. Every Sunday, every day, Easter. The season of Easter, or Easter, is so big that it gets a whole 50 days, not just one Sunday out of the church year. But you know, that is the way it should be. As the apostle reminds us, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. you are yet in your sins. So Easter deserves what we're giving it, and really a whole lot more. Celebrate Easter. Well, there is a problem, however, with celebrating Easter for 50 days, and that's life. No sooner do we celebrate, then life takes over, and we're back to normal. And what's normal? Well, it's work and worry and labor and leisure and failures and failings. It's routine. It's the same old stuff. So we have a little bit of trouble celebrating anything, and even Easter, more than just a couple of hours. But that's why it's absolutely amazing the way the first Christians responded, the ones who experienced and then celebrated the first Easter, as, for example, St. Peter in this morning's scripture reading. Now, his story is familiar to all of us, but no less astounding for being so well known. Now, we remember him well during Holy Week, boasting and then denying our Lord three times because he was afraid that his enemies or our Lord's enemies were going to arrest him, try him, maybe execute him. And with good reason, he's the one in Garden Gethsemane was slashing away at soldiers, right? So no wonder he was worried. No wonder he was afraid. But that was the old Peter. Not the Peter on this side of Easter. Now he and all the disciples are different men. They're not cowering behind locked doors. They're out there. And they are confessing. They are preaching. They're suffering imprisonment. They're being beaten. But they're not being silent. No. They are speaking out and for Jesus. Here in this particular text, Peter is doing it before really a very strange setting, situation. He's talking to Cornelius, and Cornelius is an officer in the Roman army. And he's got his friends there, Gentiles all, for Peter. Now, this is not a situation in which we would have found the old Peter. But here he is, and as the scriptures say, he opened his mouth and said. But what was it that had happened? Why this transformation? Why this boldness? Why this courage? Well, just this. Jesus Christ was alive, and Peter had seen him. As he said, God raised him on the third day and made him to appear not to all the people, but to us, who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. It was that simple and that amazing. A man had risen from the dead, and indeed more than a man, the incarnate Son of God, the Christ, he's the one who had risen, and he's the one that Peter witnessed. That fact, that reality, Peter had seen. He had spoken with him. He had touched him and eaten and drunk with him. Now, that was against all of his expectations. It was against all of his experience with death. It was against everything that human beings know about death. Jesus was alive. For Peter, therefore, a return to any kind of normal after Easter was impossible. The Lord's resurrection had given him a totally new perspective on death, on life, on his enemies, on the world. In the resurrection of Jesus, all things had become new. So there he was, proclaiming the good news to Gentiles, no less. Now, the Lord may have chosen just a few men to witness the resurrection, But he certainly didn't die and rise again for just a few, nor even for just one nation, nor even for just one age, but really for all people, all times, all places. All are in need of a Savior, and all have one, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen again. Now, for Peter and those first Christians, it was as if the resurrection of Christ had set off an explosion in time, the waves of which would continue to crash through reality through all the centuries following until right down to us in our own times, here, now. But just as the effects of an explosion diminish the farther you get away from the center of the blast, so it sometimes seems that 2,000 years after the event, our lives are barely touched by Easter. And unlike Peter and the first Christians, we find it pretty easy to go back to normal. And our Lord's resurrection, well, doesn't seem to make much difference. And if Easter were like any other historical event, such an analysis would be exactly correct. The impact of events does diminish over time, and all of this happened a long, long time ago. But Easter is not like any other historical event. Now, let's be very clear about this. It is a historical event. It occurred at a definite time and place, and Peter and the others saw it. They were witnesses. But then again, it wasn't ordinary. It was our Lord who rose again. It wasn't Lazarus. It wasn't the young man of Nain. It wasn't Jairus' daughter. They all rose for sure, that's true. But they rose only to die again. But that's not true of Jesus. No mere man he, but the Lord of all, the Lord of creation, all things. He arose triumphant over sin, devil, and death. They had done their worst to Jesus. They had lost. He had won. So he rises triumphantly, never to die again. And because of that, his resurrection, like his death, though occurring in time and space, transcend all time and space. And these events are as immediate to us as they were to Cornelius and the others to whom Peter preached. And indeed, they have the power to transform our lives as much as they transform Peter's. The centuries between then and now are entirely irrelevant. They don't matter. And the message that Peter preached to Cornelius is a message for us today as well. Here's what Peter himself testified. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Everyone who believes, anytime, any place, Jew, Gentile, American, Iranian, you, me, everyone, right here, right now. This is the power of the resurrection. Ours with forgiveness, with hope, with life, with eternity, right here, right now. So how in the world could we ever go back to normal? Especially if normal means guilt-ridden, fearful, despondent, desperate. If normal means locked in your sins and heading toward death. We're not going back there any more than Peter did. Oh, yeah, we know. Easter Sunday is gone. Music fades. Crowds diminish. Routine reasserts itself. our work continues. Oh yeah, we know that. But Easter lives on. And it lives on a whole lot longer than our 50-day celebration. It lives on with its firm and certain message. It lives on with its power and its promises. Jesus Christ, risen again, remains the foundation of our lives. Because Jesus lives, we live. And we live for him and forever. Amen. Let's say it again. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Oh,
In our prayers, we remember Addie Ziegelbein, a 5-year-old relative of Dr. McKenzie. Addie is facing life-threatening kidney failure due to a severe infection. O Lord, hear my prayer.
Let my cry unto you.
O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, look in mercy upon Addie in her time of great need. Sustain her faith and defend her from every danger to body and soul. Grant to her and her family the certainty that you are at work for her good and for the honor and glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.